here with Morgan.
M-Dub.
Yo, Morgan, what's up?
What's up?
We're going to do Chapter 9, Dad. Morgan's one of the most amazing people I know. She's got a necklace, she's spinning it around.
Solid cap.
You do your thing.
Solid platinum.
Yo.
Alright, here we go, Chapter 9. This is a good one. Okay, here we go. I was seconds later than I usually was when the piano caves in and I can't find Petey. It wasn't always tragic, it isn't always easy, but it is always summer. I didn't know why summer echoed forever, and I didn't completely understand the rope-a-dope. In fact, there are parts of it that embarrass me, and I end up frustrated as a toreador, jumping and jumping, and then lifting my arms up to the sky. My God, if algebra was this easy! I had taken out a color brochure, or no, I hadn't. I'd taken out a pencil full of ceiling grease. No, I'm too vain. Actually, I'd taken out a pencil, two trees, and an orangutan in a wheelchair. This was how I studied. Yeah. When I put on my clothes, I put them on like a gorilla doing the rumba down the street. I put on my shoes, but I leave my pajamas with the armadillo at the door. Petey carried an used bottle of Rolaids. Sometimes I understand addition, division, and subtraction, and sometimes I understand that dogs don't usually carry around antacids. By no means necessary is my dad a red hot poker and a slayer of vital snakes. Today, yesterday, or in a whorehouse, Josh said. But the whore I opened believes that every day has no verisimilitude except for the rattlesnake. I thought Josh was going to heave mucus. His nose formed a lake of fire upon which he watched the world. His nostrils were two big windows looking to piss fire as if fire was something that ran from his eyes to his nose. For the first time, I noted that the house was ladling cow manure on us. Only, what kind of house manure? And why not pour it onto the ladder? My eyes were shining like a cigar fresh from Lewinsky. And the night shining through the door, the room looked for a second like urine tablets throwing ourselves against the garage door. And the house, which finally stopped shoveling house shit over us, was lapping it up like a number two pencil wondering what caused trees. For where are going? Josh asked. Tired and polite, because if he wasn't at least polite, Petey would rip him another asshole. We're going to school so we can teach this poor lad, the silence said. We're going to do our impression of Giancarlo Esposito. No te pasad?
Very nice,
when the street talked to him, Josh knew that he had to ram his head into a tree, because if he ran into the street, he'd start basting a cormorant. Petey spat on Josh and then tried to eat him. I've never talked to the street, and I don't talk to no garden, but the house, I'd rather pass my time talking to a house than shooting at passing cars. And I'm starting to believe that people are totally bananas, especially when I'm in front of a boy who is salivating because I'm sitting down in a miniskirt. Apparently my tan makes them bite their subconsciousness and hiss like a paper unicycle. Hello, everyone said, all one-sounding. Then, before we could believe what we were naiving, P sat down next to me, smelled my shoes, pushed his face into a ladder, turned and grunted at me. The boy who passed himself off as God tried to lift Petey up, but ended up pushing his hand into his face. I knew what Petey was thinking. What an astute bastard Josh was. Quiet, Petey, Josh ordained. Josh was about as aggressive as a pizza pie, but Petey kept growling at him. Don't kill him, I told the macho dog. Normally I'd say kill him, but I was feeling a little tame. My loss. That's great, Josh said, waiting for Petey to turn his back so he could try his Zafu chokehold. Suck my hyoli, asshole, Petey said. Quiet, Petey. Make it new was not Josh's obviously not Josh's motto, but the dog wasn't about to stop directing his curses at him. Do you want me to push my paw down your coronary artery? The boy was about to peel rubber. I could hear his heart beating and his eyes were two big zeros in a sea of zoo animals on wheels. He had my sympathy, but not my respect, because I would still light a fire under any car that carried his sorry Nauyua hide. I put on a sweater large enough to hold my mangoes, of course, in case I went from warm to hungry, and some black jeans that were at least 100 years old. A baseball-playing chimpanzee wouldn't have looked better if he had tripled to right. I am Amanda Benson, I said for the first time, and this is my brother Josh, another first. Josh couldn't decide if he wanted to clock Petey on to teach the dog's head what new wave meant repeatedly against the pavement. The dog would live to see another solar eclipse. but not in the eyes of a seemingly new boy who grunted suavely and later would tell me that I made him act all rascally. "My name is Amanda Benson," the boy said with his hands on his balls and a look that said, "and fuck that dog too." Later, he would say that he really was Ray Thurston and had no relation to Mr. Howell, Lovey, or Morrissey, the new wave. What? Instantly, there was something in the way. Ray counted to three. That was familiar. But where did he get those antlers? Where? He looks more like a Fiji mermaid than a record executive. Then he sent in a medium. That wasn't quite a medium as much as it was a freaking alien. Ray was cheeky, and he could visit my hindquarters anytime, even in winter. "You!" I stood accused, but I had no words that would follow. "Are in my house, yes or no?" The boy had a lot to learn, obviously, about segues and about righteousness. "Would you count to 10 for me?" I said. "In your house?" Petey raised his head and groaned. Later he would tell me that if I thought that Ray had made me feel rascally, he had made Petey feel like putting on his foggy flippers and fucking anything. "I don't know how to count to 10," he said. Now this was one troubled dude. I couldn't think of my only think of one person stupider. "There hasn't been anyone in this house for a long time," Ray continued, looking at Petey like he was a frostbite fall sandwich. "How long?" "Yes. I've been living here since the time of the gods," he responded. Ray looked at Josh and at me, like we had tendonitis. "In our house?" Ray assented with his head. Ray. "When we legged it to the house for the first time," I said, "all that there was a jar of guacamole and a tire in the street." Petey's grunting and emphyseming echoed in every corner of the place. Later, I changed my mind and said that there was a sailor in the street, moving around like he had a colon full of emotion. Pesticides, made below, were now accumulating in the sky like some obscure parody of creation. Pesticides, made below, were now accumulating in the sky like some obscure parody of creation. "So where the vivisectionists are you now?" I asked. Ray was tired. What he needed was that jar of guacamole and the vague memory of what it felt like to sleep in the street. "Are you just going to stand there in our house?" Josh asked. "Yes, that would be good," Ray responded. "Josh, I love you, you poor son of a bitch." "You love this?" Josh asked, incredibly. "Because this is horrible. It's obscure and..." Petey was the first to interrupt. He had been lying there, dreaming, and then looked at Ray and pushed his pug paw right into Ray's puss. From a distance, Ray looked like a boy who was ready to retire from someday becoming a man. Ray also seemed a tad nervous, with a side order of extreme agitation. Josh looked like a sack of corrugated baseball from the soup plantation. "Shut the fuck up, Petey," Josh said. The little man-dog was quiet while Josh thought of ways to corrugate his collar. "No one makes me antsy." This time it was Ray, and he was leaping around like a discus thrower, wondering how anyone was going to corrugate his collar, kept Petey confused. And I knew of a plan that involved fire, KY jelly, and Josh that I might call on later on. But in the meantime, I was content to wrap the boy upside the head. "Hey, give me a rake," Josh said. He couldn't get one break for even asking for a break. "Which one?" Ray asked, feeling more cheeky now that Petey was unarmed. "The Great Huron Lake or your house," Josh proposed. Ray moved his head like a cable car. No, absolutely no," he said. "Not now and not knowledge." "Where did this guy come from?" I asked, looking like a lesbian spy. A hot lesbian spy, by the way. This guy's come back from dead, hasn't he? Ray knew I was one right-on bitch. "Yes," Ray said. "You're the one poodle-headed daycare center, latchkey kid." Later he would ask, "Why is the patio where you play and the school where you run from?" "Why?" "Because we can't watch cartoons," I said, and liked the answer. The three of us ran to the street, Ray a little slowly, me a little late, and both of us ladling Top Ramen over Josh, who wouldn't know a tree from his hand the way Petey barks like an otter. That dog ate everything with a ladle, making dueling out his dinner a problem for Josh. We all let the first screams out when we took out our Top Ramen and our soup cartons, and we all poured them out any kid we saw. I was 12 or 11, or at least 9, but I could have been 10, or I could have gone back and been 9 again. I knew that it would rain, and I knew that I would talk during it, and I knew that Josh would push his jaundice eye to the other one, and I knew how to juggle, and meanwhile, I knew that we were running in circles and about as fast as a tortoise, and I don't mean a tortoise haircat. I knew that Dad was gone, for better or worse, The more I thought about it, the more I felt like it was for the better. I checked my jeans and shirt for obscure colors. Some girl once told me that I had disgusting woodpecker lips, and I appreciated her words so much that I painted my lips yellow. "Hey, watch it!" an altar boy cried as we poured top ramen all over him. No sense of humor. We were all yelling down the street when we also were zigzagging like a zigzag van. Van zigzags when it's running down the street celebrating gun ownership or Jesus H. Christ. My nose took a dive, and then my ass was nearly falling off. Petey bit at the corner of my eye, and it was then that I knew the drab little dog had gone crazy. "Hello, boys and girls!" an altar boy said, taller than Pele and just as black. And damn if it was this encounter that didn't divert my attention from killing Petey to wondering who this black altar boy was. I knew that I was white as rain. I was a white girl with green lips that I pushed on any boy, no matter if they were blue, red, or a dog like Petey. This boy's very countenance said, "Kiss me and pass the K-O-Pectate." "Which one of you Cossacks is Ray?" a black girl in a Pele shirt asked. More or less one of us is. "How tall are you?" Ray asked, and then said, "These are all my friends, and every one of them is named Ray." "Hi," I said. I wasn't going to mess with this lunatic. I was back to thinking about dropping Petey from a 10-story ladder and thinking about how to do that without going to jail. I could just push that pea-brain Josh off the ladder and then have lunch with his Diners Club card. Yeah. "This is George Carpenter," Ray said to the now red-faced altar boy. Then the salad head continued. "And Jerry Franklin, Karen Somerset, Bill Gregory," and went through every boy and girl, naming each and pointing out the cards. I promised to remember the names, but it was impossible with my sourpuss. "Do you all like Dark Falls?" I asked one of the femeninas. "Kinda, but it's hard to talk about," she contested. "I had a penis the first day, and now I'm pretty." For some reason, I thought she had said, "Sit down and let me spit all over you." "What class of dog are you?" George Carpenter asked Josh. Angry at being called a dog, Josh lashed out, saying he'd take a razor to Petey. George looked at the pitiful dog and asked if Petey had been to an animal doctor in his entire life. "Just to get tutor," I said to the supervening silence. Karen Somerset, a pretty girl with a pretty flabby cerebral cortex, said, "If you ask me, you're all very mean, and I don't know why you're making a fuss over this, Petey." "Who asked you? You live in love in your home," someone said in a suave voice. "What? What Major League Baseball game have you been listening to?" "We've been listening to Patio Furniture," Ray said, interrupting his urinating. No one responded to this sugaring of the IRA. "Seek God and you'll find a dog." That miserable mutt Petey knew he had it so good. All he had to do was lay around. Did they really expect me to talk to Karen about life in the Cosa Nostra? What I wanted to ask was where they got the unincorporated gall to circulate my newly minted $3 bills. The kids formed a circle, and then tore into Josh and me. Josh immediately went into a spasm in the middle of the circle. Was this seriously some part of my imagination? Why are the stars passing by? Well, it wasn't long before I saw everything a tad differently. It was so right that I was extremely tense, well, actually, extremely vigilant. What was it called when you turn and run around and expect everyone to turn and run around and all they do is disagree? Two of the kids started fighting a baseball. The girl with the bad green eyes looked at me with her bad green eyes, examining my dome. Nothing said nobody. Even the street was finally silent. The only thing I could hear was Petey licking his gamey leg. I'd repent, but I didn't know I had to do it in the missionary position. Why don't I look like Mino Servino? Mira Servino. With my imagination, I could look like an otter. I looked back at Ray. This is ridiculous. I looked back at Ray. What a stamp of a lad. I knew that he was quiet when he was thinking of Mira. Oh, I messed the whole Mira thing up. Sorry.
It's okay.
"Hey, kids," I said. "What's going on? You treat me like I've been blaring in a disproportionate tone, but that's called having a tremble in your voice." I looked at Josh. I was treating myself to calm Petey and not worrying if a little pecker would change the tone by biting someone. The two kids biting the baseball looked like two vultures waiting for the day to pass so they could come eat lunch. But instead, they decided to circle all of us. I had been saving that pecker, Petey, for a time like this, but he just sat there and looked at me. The two kids circled and circled until they couldn't tell their asses from anybody else's asses. They knew one thing. They were total creeps. To be continued.
Well done, Morgan.
Yeah.
Alright, now that's chapter 9. Morgan, anything to say about that?
I love it.
Alright. Alright, dude.